The following is a sermon from Pastor Timothy Borman and Sure Foundation, a church located in Woodside, Queens, New York, the world's most diverse community. For more information and for more audio content, go to sure-foundation.org.
Here we are, just 2 days away. Just 2 days away from Christmas, and already we are on the fourth Sunday of Advent. We've heard that urgent song, Veni, Veni, and we learn to immediately fall down and worship because Jesus is coming, just like that teacher was coming down the hall. And then in week two, we saw Zechariah in that great Christmas muting, and he was not yet ready to sing. That was already 2 weeks ago. Today he's going to sing. But in the interlude, we heard Mary sing. And boy, did she sing. Didn't she sing a revolutionary song to rebel against everything that speaks against faith? To sing that song that says, no matter what is happening in my life, I believe in you, God, that you will come and you will rescue me. And now today, just 2 days away from Christmas, we will hear Zechariah. God will unknot his tongue and he will sing one of the most tender, one of the most hopeful songs in all of Scripture. I'm going to ask you to please stand as we hear him sing Zechariah's song. This is from Luke chapter 1. It's also printed in page 8. You can follow along there. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his prophets long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit. And he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. I love this sculpture. My wife gave it to me when we had our first child. This is a sculpture by Susan Lordy. And she crafted it out of a block of wood. It's a sculpture called New Dad. You can't see the expression on his face or the expression of the child, but he's holding the child on his lap with his knees pressed together. And the child is wiggling. He's got his hands like this. And I think that there's joy on his face as he sits on his father's lap. Maybe the most interesting thing to think about, though, is what's going on in the father's face. Because he has no expression, but clearly he's looking down at the child. And like any parent, who looks down at the child that they're holding on their lap for maybe the first time, his heart must be filled with so many things. I think I love this sculpture, and it sits on my desk every single day. I love this sculpture because it captures the moment of a parent looking at their dear child. And this parent, this father, is holding this child with all the tenderness and all of the strength that he can possibly muster. There's a card, they call it a sentiment, that comes with willow tree sculptures. And the card says this: in awe and wonder of all that is to come. In awe and wonder of all that it is to come. And I think that card really captures the moment in many ways very beautifully, because you parents know this. When you look down at your child when they are young and you hold them in your arms, part of you is thinking, what will this child become? What will they do with their life? Because there is so much hope and there is so much expectation wrapped up in this moment, and you're thinking to yourself, well, maybe now the world will be different. Maybe now the world will be a kinder and gentler place as I send this young thing out into the world. I think that card is nearly perfect, but it's not perfect because there's something else that the card doesn't say. There's an sort of an ugly underbelly to that moment too, because I think every father, every mother has thought it as they hold their young child in their arms. There's also a tremendous concern, isn't there? Tremendous, heartfelt, deep concern for what the world can do. And I remember taking my young babies. Do you remember this? When you take your babies home from the hospital for the first time and you carry them out, this precious cargo, and you are driving more carefully than you ever have in your entire life. Why? Because you know what the world can do. You know it. I remember bringing my babies to church for the very first time at Sure Foundation, and I would cover their ears. I would literally cover their young ears in their baby car seats because of the 7 train, thinking, I don't want their hearing to be damaged, not yet. Like there's this, some sort of like this new car, and you don't want to get a scratch on them, not at all. And then there's this moment that comes in time, and you sort of just give up. Because the scratches and the damages begin to mount up on that young child. You know, there's something else in that moment. As you look down and that baby in your arms, and you think, not only is there awe and hope for what to come, but there is deep-seated concern for what is to come. And I think that this little sculpture really is a beautiful thing to capture what is happening just 2 days now from Christmas. Partly because in just 2 days, we will watch the Virgin Mary scoop up her baby in her arms for the very first time, and that young father Joseph, and they will put him on their lap and they will look at him. Yes, in awe and expectation of what is to come, because he is the promise of God. But not too long after that, Simeon would walk up to Mary and say, a sword will pierce your heart. Because little did they know that he would be hung on a tree. But I also think this sculpture is a perfect sculpture for today. Because this is what's happening for Zechariah as he sings the song. You know where he is? His friends and family have just gathered around, and young John the Baptist is only 8 days old. And John the Baptist has just bled for the very first time because he's been circumcised. And I imagine his father, Zechariah, scooping John the Baptist up into his arms, and he puts him on his lap, And he wipes those tears away. And he begins to contemplate in hopeful expectation of everything that is to come, because this is the forerunner, but also with a deep-seated concern for what was to come, because he knew exactly what happens to the prophets of God. And so he looked down at his young son he was holding in his arms, and the Holy Spirit filled him. And he begins to sing a beautiful, tender Christmas lullaby. And boy, does he sing. He sings first to God a great song of praise. It's almost like there's two parts to the song, and he says, "Dear son, and everyone who is listening, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord because he has come to redeem his people. Praise the Lord because the Lord has remembered Abraham and that great promise that he made, that your descendants will be as many as the stars in the sky. Praise the Lord because the Davidic line has not come to an end, but God has blessed the house of David. Praise the Lord because the Lord has remembered his people and he will not let his people suffer any longer because of their enemies." And he sings with a full heart. But then he turns to his young son in his arms with great tenderness and fatherly concern, and he says, and he sings to his son, My dear son, the sun will rise and it will shine on you. And then the song closes. It's a beautiful song, a hopeful song, and yet at the same time, it's a very melancholy song in some senses. You see, the truth about a lullaby from a father to a son or a parent to a child is that there is always a dark underbelly to a lullaby. Because parents sing lullabies, why? Because of the monsters under the bed, because of what is going to come at their child in their lives. And so they sing to comfort their children. And there's a dark underbelly to this lullaby too, isn't there? I think Zechariah sensed it, and he knew it, that he would not be there to raise this child because he was an old, old man. We said that just a couple of weeks ago. He was an old, old man. And it's almost as if Luke wants us to sense it, that these are the very last words that we have in Scripture that Zechariah would speak into the heart of his child. Because all of a sudden, when he's done singing, he's gone. Zechariah is gone. And it seems as if John the Baptist is like this orphan who suddenly is shoved out into the wilderness of life, and there he is raised amongst the locusts eating honey, all there by himself because his parents are gone. And Zechariah knew it. He knew he wouldn't be there not long enough for his child, and so he sings. There's another dark underbelly to this song, this lullaby too, though, because we know, as sort of the omniscient reader, what is coming in John the Baptist's life, don't we? Zechariah could only guess what would happen to a prophet of the Lord who had come to prepare the way for Jesus. But we know exactly what was coming down the pipe. That Zechariah would make a sermon against the political powers of the day. And he would be thrown in prison, and you know the rest of the story. And so, all of this all of this is wrapped up into this moment where Zechariah scoops his young son into his arms, and he begins to sing, and he says, "My child, my dear son, hear my words and let them rest in your heart. The sun will rise, and it will shine on you. Jesus is coming, son. And the rays are already crusting over the horizon. Jesus is coming." Now, it could be easy to think that this song, especially part two of the Song of Zechariah, is not for us. Because Zechariah directs his words to his son. He even sets those words apart by addressing specifically John the Baptist with those gentle words, "My little boy." But let me tell you something. This song is not just for Zechariah. In fact, we could say this, that this song is one of the most Holy Spirit-led songs and words in the entire Bible. Because not only was Zechariah filled with the Holy Spirit when he originally sang it, but Luke, as he wrote the Gospel of Luke, was inspired by the Holy Spirit. You might even say that these words are double inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that we would hear them. But not only that, as Zechariah held the baby in his arms and he sings to his son, there's an audience there, isn't there? And he sings to his son so that everyone else there could hear what he had to say. Because these words and this lullaby are for you too. So I want you to do something in your minds. And this is going to be very hard for adults, maybe easier for children. But instead of being the parent holding the child, I want you just for a moment to become the child and just be held by your father. Because you too have a father who holds you in his arms with all of the strength and all of the tenderness that he can manage. Let me tell you something about your father. Your father, before the creation of the world, knew you and he saw you and he said, "I want to redeem them." And so at just the right time and just the right place, he sent his son. And his son came largely into the world very unnoticed. The shepherds knew, and the star shined down, but the world barely even noticed when his son came into the world. But his son came just for you. And this son gave his everything for you. He even gave his life for you. Your father had the angels cry out and sing, "Peace on earth, goodwill for men." And so when you came into the world, he smiled on you and he held you in his arms and he said, "I love you." And he gave you a name and he brought you into his family. Your father loves you very much. I think it's hard for adults to hear that sometimes. Because we're so busy trying to control the future, trying to make things work out just the way they're supposed to. And so at Christmas time, and as we come to the end of the year, I think the very best thing we can do is just stop. Just stop. And let the Father hold you in his arm, in his arms for just a moment. Just be held. And whatever is troubling you, whatever darkness that you are going through, whatever you are wondering about, just let him have it. Because he is a good Father and he is a good God and he knows what you need. And sometimes you just can't work it out yourself. Believe the promise that Zechariah was trying to sing into the heart of his son, and that our Father still sings over us today. The sun will rise and shine over you. And for the moment, just be held. Amen.